The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Tom Fair of the Chicago Bears Radio Network and a former great offensive lineman with the Bears is going to be with us today because there's a lot of you that are Bears fans here in Phoenix, and we want to look ahead towards the Bears and the Cardinals and their matchup, which will be this coming Sunday. We'll have Tom Fair with us. Goody's going to jump on board. We've not had Bill Goodykunz on in a while. I saw Bill at a screening for Kurt Warner's movie. It was the four of us. It was him and his daughter, my wife and I, over at Santan Village. It's creepy when you go into a movie, and Bill and I, we saw a James Bond movie together, screened one like, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. It was just the two of us. That was creepy. And it was up at Cine Capri, and I want to say over at Scottsdale Fashion Square back in the day. So I wanted to have Bill on, you know, talk a little bit about the Suns and tonight and what it means if they're able to go get the victory. And do we cheer in our positions? And a little bit about the holiday movies. You know, has he seen Spider-Man yet? Because that's coming out. And is it any good? So there's a couple sports movies that are coming. So I want to talk to Bill on all those fronts. And that comes up at 10:35 after Tom Thayer. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I'll get the bad stuff out of the way. We have a labor stoppage in baseball, and I know that the Diamondbacks are so far off the radar screen and everybody's focusing on the Suns, but this is a pretty significant story today, and it's Tony Clark, a former Diamondback, who leads the players against Rob Manfred, who leads the owners. This is always coming back to arbitration and keeping players in their markets longer than others. The owners are saying that the way the system is set up, it's bad when players leave. And I look at it and say, I don't know, Corey Seager just made like, what, $300 million? Max Scherzer made a boatload of dough. It's like with the Mets. So it feels like the players are doing just fine. I've heard, but I have not talked to Ken Kendrick directly about this. I've heard that he's one of the owners that is going to be staunch on this deal. It is just December 2nd. If they get to the middle of February, then there should be concern. But I do think you should be aware of what is. I've covered enough of these through the years. You feel like they're going to figure it out at some point, that they won't just shut the game down. But that is the big story today, in my opinion, along with the Suns. So let's get over the fun stuff. Look, I don't sit here every night. The other night I went and watched the Suns. I don't root. I think that there's too many people in our industry in this day and age that root. And they're given opportunities for you to see them root. And maybe you like that. Maybe you like seeing guys and girls from TV stations wearing purple and orange when they're out on the court at the game, or when the Cardinals are playing, they're wearing jerseys, or, you know, maybe you like that stuff. I don't. I just think that's beyond ridiculous. But that's where we are in this day and age on some fronts, is we just want to make sure that we're a bunch of cheerleaders. Do I want the streak to continue? Sure. It's good. Is it good for business? You know what's good for business? A team that is good. I want a team in our community that is... It's not good to talk about a team that blows all the time. It's not good to talk about what's going on with the owner. If the story with the owner breaks right now or on the air, and what the punishment is going to be to Robert Sarver after this investigation is done, if there is punishment on him, that would far supersede talking about tonight's game. It would, in my world. You know, the win streak and what they've been able to accomplish. I went the other night. There was an energy in the building. I ran into Al McCoy, and he was so excited to call a game. And I ran into some ushers that had been there for a while and visited with them. And, you know, I came here in 93 to do a lot of the stuff around the Suns. And so I still have friends in that organization. I feel good for them because the crap that went on from 2010 until last year was just completely unacceptable. And so now they've turned the corner in a big way, obviously. It's been about 14 months of positive momentum. You go back to the bubble, and then last season, and now this. And a 17-game win streak is just something that we may never see again, okay? Last time this happened with the Suns was 2006. So, yes, enjoy it. Will I be watching tonight against Detroit? Yeah. Spurge is going to go tonight. I think it's fair to let some of the people with what we do go experience it. I don't have to be at every single game. I want the staff to go enjoy themselves and take this in. So when they're doing this 20, 30 years from now, and I'm on the wrong side of the grass, whenever that may be, they've experienced cool things. I don't have to be at every last cool event. And so for this spot where they are, the Bucks won 18 back in 2019. The Lakers won 33 straight in 71-72. I think it was like 4 or 5 when that happened. So to see this, what I like most about this team and the makeup of this team is that the coach is a really good dude from my view. He has really good people around him. There's grit to this team. You know, a guy like last year was just Jay Crowder. And then they said, you know, we need to get a little bit more physical, a little bit more grit. So JaVale McGee comes in here, and he's been tremendous. Landry Shamet's going to get the extra minutes now that Devin Booker, mostly extra minutes, now Devin Booker is going to sit out. And by the way, I am fine if I don't see Devin Booker until Christmas. Really. There's no reason. The Suns are actually in this space now because through the years, you see these teams where they talk about load management. And we haven't talked about that with the Suns because they've just been a load. They haven't been any good. But now, because they are really, really good, you have to look at, okay, how's this player progressing towards the latter part of April when the playoffs start? How do things look if we were to go head-to-head? I say we from the Suns' point of view, not me. If we were to play Golden State in a short series, you saw it the other night. DeAndre Ayton inside, JaVale McGee inside. It's like, okay, we feel like we can exploit what goes on inside with Golden State. Would it surprise me before the trade deadline that the Warriors didn't turn around and say, well, we're going to go add some bulk because we know if we were to play the Suns in a short series, that's what it is, guys. That's what it is. So the fact that they have this long winning streak, it's great. It's fine. Fun. My bigger look, my bigger lens is on what does it look like in April? So to put Devin Booker out there at all right now, come on. Who cares? I don't care. They're not going to lose 17 in a row. Okay? They're going to be in the postseason. They're going to have a long run. So you actually have to start looking at when you have a guy that's nicked up and you just go down the other players that are on this team that are nicked up right now. And will they be able to come back? Will they be able to produce? Dario's one of those guys. I mean, I go through the whole roster, but I think in Devin Booker's case, just enjoy the time off, have a nice warm seat. At some point, Chris Paul needs to have some load management. And the win streak, though, should continue tonight. The Suns should beat Detroit tonight. They should set the all-time record. Now, teams are going to come in here with that. Let's be the team that ends this streak. If they get through tomorrow night at Golden State in a back-to-back without Devin Booker, man, whew. And that's if Devin Booker doesn't play. In my opinion, they can play him. They're close to the situation than me. I wouldn't care at all if he didn't play for the next, even Christmas Day. It'd be a nice Christmas present against the Warriors, but you don't need to go put him out there in any way, shape, or form right now. You just don't. Arizona State basketball last night was the worst, and I've seen a lot of bad basketball with ASU. It was the worst showing that I can remember, and my friend groups, my fan groups, the people that I circle with, just people that consume what we do, have never been angrier or more disinterested. And it's for various reasons. There's some people don't want to, they have season tickets in row one and they don't want to go because they're forced to wear a mask. That's their, you know, that's their decision. I'm not going to sit here and yell at them about that. That's their call. But they haven't gone because of that. Then they haven't gone because the quality of play hasn't been good. Is Bobby Hurley on the hot seat now? Well, let me just put it to you this way. Next Thursday, a week from today, when Grand Canyon comes to ASU and they bring boatloads of fans, although I've heard that when GCU spoke with ASU about buying tickets, ASU said, yeah, we're going to push the number up, which is fine. It's their home game. That is going to be a GCU home game in all likelihood. After what happened last night, you talk about a takeover that's coming. Remember those years when Loot would roll in up here and ASU would play U of A? That's what next Thursday night's going to be like. It just is. And add to that, you have two former Sun Devils over on GCU's side. Now, you can take the beat down last night against Washington State, and anybody who tries to put a positive spin on that, you must be getting a check from ASU. And it's your job. I get it, but you can't. There's just no way. Like Matt Muehlbach, I love Matt on Pac-12 Network. I'm one of the five that have the Pac-12 Network here in the Valley. He was fine last night down the stretch. He's just trying to get through the broadcast. He did bring up some points about, you know, you see a player, you see a team, that then they finish the game strong. ASU had like, there was a sequence where a player went in, layup by himself, it was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. He missed it. Three follows missed it. Washington State goes on a 4-on-1 the other way, which to me is just like, where is everybody here? So you don't just push flush it on this type of game. You don't. They played a tough schedule. They just got back from traveling. That's laying out the schedule. Bagley's hurt. That happens. You got to roll through it. But, man, they were bad last night. Oh. And that's, you know, really about it. I'm looking forward to the Cardinals game on Sunday, so I want to have Tom Thayer on. Tom is the Chicago Bear broadcaster, the color analyst. And I also want to talk to him about the future of the Bears in Chicago, their facility. Is Justin Fields the right guy and all that? None better than Tom Thayer. He's next. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, let's turn our attention to the Bears because we know this, me being in the Valley for almost 30 years, there's more Bears fans here than Cardinal fans at given times. Now, this year that might be changing, I don't know, but to focus in a little bit closer on what is going on with the Bears, I can look at a record and say 4-7, but I really want to know what's going on. Tom Thayer is with us, the Bear, the Chicago Bears Radio Network, for a few minutes. Thanks for jumping on board. What is going on with the Bears? First overarching question, Tom.
Oh, my God. You know, it goes back to when they signed Andy Dalton in the offseason and they anointed him QB1 because that's really created a lot of controversy. And it was before the draft and they didn't know they were going to have the opportunity to draft Justin Fields. So then you speed up into OTAs and training camp and they still anointed Andy Dalton as QB1. And the fans wanted Justin Fields to be able to compete for the starting job. They didn't give him that opportunity. They anointed Andy Dalton the starter, so they were going to start him week 1. And then as soon as Justin Fields started to show some signs of promise, then all of a sudden the fans got involved. And whether it's social media or calling in a local radio show, they wanted Justin on the field. And so I think they got caught in a really difficult area because Andy Dalton was the more experienced quarterback. He understood the line of scrimmage. He understood what the opposing defenses were going to try to do to them in terms of his offense as a whole. Justin really wasn't up to speed yet, but he had the athleticism. He started to show the traits for the reason they drafted him. And then I think the quarterback position became so confusing that they were unfortunate and fortunate that Andy Dalton tweaked his knee because they had to start Justin Fields. Then he went into Cleveland and got sacked 9 times. Jeez. And there was a little bit more evidence that as the escapability he showed in college and the different traits that he showed that were going to be worthy of development over course of time, he still wasn't ready. But then they decided to go with Justin, and I don't think the quarterback position helped this offense develop, and they were trying to get Justin to develop. So here they are. Justin's got bad ribs. Andy Dalton went into Detroit last week and threw for over 300 yards, waiting for Justin to get healthy and going to start Andy Dalton. So it's just more confusing than consistency is the real hindrance to the Bears' lack of success throughout the season.
Well, let's just go bigger question than bigger picture. The Bears' consistency at quarterback in the last, I don't know how many years, have you found the answer, do you believe, in Justin Fields? Because it's been a revolving door back there, it looks like, from a distance.
I do, but now you have to have consistency as the play caller and the offensive coordinator. If you go and you feed Justin Fields the system he learned in Ohio State and then the system he learned under Matt Nagy, now if they made a coaching change and it would be the third year in a row that he's learning new terminology, a new offense, and the things that limit the overall development of a quarterback, it would be a setback to him. So I think they got the right person. I think Justin, his long ball accuracy is, I mean, it leaves you an impression on, because he really is natural about that. And that's one of the biggest hindrances to the success of Mitchell Trubisky. He wasn't very accurate in passes over 25 yards. Justin Fields can make you pay on an RPO if you don't stay disciplined about your defensive responsibilities. He's the type of guy that can make your running game more explosive because they have to have disciplined rushes by the outside defenders. So, yeah, I think Justin is the guy for the future, but it's, you know, you'd like to see the same system be in place for 5 or 6 years during his young career.
Does he have enough pieces around him? Do you feel like, look, Brad, the line, the Montgomery, receiver, we have enough here, or is this cupboard pretty bare and he's just trying to get by?
Well, you know, no, I don't think there's enough pieces in place because Allen Robinson will probably be out of here after this year. Darnell Mooney is a heck of a player. Yep. Is he a bona fide number one? I don't think so, but he's at 1A capabilities. He's a little bit undersized, so you'd like to have that complementary piece. I think Cole Kmet can develop into a tight end that gets respected around the league in all portions of the field. They have a good running back right now in David Montgomery and a nice backup in Khalil Herbert. But I think the key is going to be the development of the offensive tackle position. They drafted Tevin Jenkins early in the second round out of Oklahoma State. He went and had back surgery. He's just getting back on the field. Can he develop into a starting tackle position on either side? They want it to be the left-hand side, but I'm not so sure if he has those traits. They drafted Larry Borum in the fifth round, who's their starting right tackle, who I think is better on the left side. So they got to get that figured out somehow. So, you know, could they go out and get another marquee receiver in place of Allen Robinson in the future? They're going to need it for sure. Do they have a guy waiting in the wings here to develop into that player? No, they don't. So they got to somehow go on the street and find him. So they have a lot of development going forward if this team is really going to start competing for the division. If Aaron Rodgers stays in the division, I still think it's Aaron Rodgers' division. If Aaron Rodgers somehow moves on next year, I think the division's going to open up for competition from all four teams.
Talk with Tom Thayer for a couple of minutes. Chicago Bears Radio Network, Cardinals at Bears on Sunday. Before I get you out of here, two quick questions. You mentioned Mooney, Fields, Roquan Smith. We're talking about guys to build around. That is one of those players from a distance. Fill me in on that side of the football.
Roquan Smith, he has the ability to be an all pro, not a pro bowler, but all pro. I think it's more special of recognition. However, he's been injured at the end of the last three seasons. So now when you go back and you look at the money Fred Warner and some of these great interior linebackers are getting, if Roquan was there and he was healthy at the end of the year, I'd have no problem paying this guy. He's a leader. He can do anything that's asked of him. He's motivated. He's excited to go out and cover running backs, cover tight ends. He plays the interior run game well, but he needs some support around him. And it's got to be youth, because I don't know where Akeem Hicks is at going forward in his career. Khalil Mack has gotten injured this year. So You see susceptibility to this defense if you don't have Khalil Mack on one side and Robert Quinn, who was just named NFC Defensive Player of the Month, who's having a comeback type of year. But they got to get their defensive backfield settled. They got Jalen Johnson, and I think everybody else is, even though they signed Eddie Jackson to a long-term contract, I think everybody else could be competed against for starting roles. So I think they're probably about 5 or 6 players on the defensive side of the ball to complement Roquan Smith to be, again, to be a division competing defense when you have quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers in the division.
Got about a minute, minute and a half, two-part question. Nagy's future, where are the Bears going to be playing football in 5 years?
I think they're going to be at Arlington Heights. I think it's, you know, their nose of the grindstone, everything going forward, trying to make this deal in Arlington Heights to get it going and have a stadium that they're worthy of like the other stadiums we see around the NFL. But I think a lot of Matt Nagy's fate is decided on the remainder of the season, the development of Justin Fields and what you do in the division. They still have to play Green Bay. They still have to play Minnesota twice. They beat Detroit twice, which is no big deal. 4 out of their wins are against a winless team in Detroit. But I think it's all about really the big picture of Justin Fields. And like I said, you would like to keep him within the same system, but if it's not Matt Nagy, then they're going to go out and have to pick the perfect replacement for Nagy to develop Justin.
Really appreciate the visit and the insight, Tom. Good stuff. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Tom Thayer with the Chicago Bears Radio Network, and we're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5 plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, it's been a while since Goody's been with us. It's Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Because I see Bill, we saw a screening of Kurt Warner's movie a few weeks back in like a dark theater, and then I had to go, and we're just like this in this space.
You said hi.
I did, and I felt like, you know, it was the four of us. It was my wife and I and Bill and his daughter, and that was it. It's kind of creepy. What are you making out of the Suns? Because you're a fan, and you're also a journalist. So, I mean, how much – I'm having fun with this.
I'm having fun, too. I mean, I was just thinking about this today. 3 years ago, I was writing a media column about how the Suns and the Cardinals – how Arizona was in the national news for sports because they were so bad. They were a joke. And this was just 3 years ago, right? And now they're in the national media because they're so good. And I was thinking about that from your perspective, my perspective, from the media's perspective, I think it's fun. It's kind of like reviewing movies. It's fun if they're really good or they're really bad. What's hard to cover is if they're just kind of in the middle. You know, if you just have kind of one of those mid-level teams, what can you say? I mean, they may win, they may not. Nothing really is going to come of it. But this is exciting. And I don't think, I mean, I write opinions, so I can have an opinion. But
sure.
I'm not a big fan of when news anchors wear football jerseys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You and I have discussed that before. But it's hard not to get into it. And I feel like this team, and you know more, you've forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know, but this team, the way it's constructed now, seems to me to be the most legitimate contender. And yes, they went to the finals last year, but last year was kind of a weird year. This seems like the best team since the 93 team, or at least the team that has the best chance to actually do it.
Yeah. I mean, 06, 07, you can make that argument. And the 93 team, the 93 team had, it wasn't just Charles, you know, you had these, he had guys like Kevin Johnson and Charles that were like this, and then they weren't like this. They'd sing Kumbaya. You would have Mark West over in the corner, and Joe Klein was a goof, and Danny Manning was hurt and then come in, and Wayman Tisdale, God bless his soul. I mean, there was a lot around that group. The Nash team, you know, Steve's hair's flying everywhere, and you've got a grit guy in Rajah Bell, which is very similar to Jay Crowder. And so you find similarities in there. And, you know, Bill, we're not supposed to cheer or root. And I think you and I are in that same ilk, but we want a good story. Okay. So there's a fine line. Like, I'm not going to sit here tonight and watch Detroit. I went the other night. I wasn't cheering for the Suns. I got there early to see the Steph Curry show. Guy gets a standing ovation when he runs out on the opposing team's floor. That doesn't happen since, I don't know, Kobe or Michael Jordan. So I want to see that. So there is that line of, are we doing journalism? Are we cheerleaders? Yeah, I don't have an orange shirt or a purple. I have a purple tie, but I don't wear it. You know, so I think having fun is, there's nothing wrong with that in our industry. There isn't. We need to have a little bit more fun, a little bit more levity, especially in this day and age where everything is so heavy all the time. Like, sports has got to be the candy store and the escape.
And there's some heavy aspects of sports too, but the, yes. But
Robert Sarver, it's there.
That doesn't get any heavier than that.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, I think you're right, because you're not necessarily rooting for the Suns, but if they continue to win, that's a great story. And you are rooting for the story.
Yep.
It's sort of like, in a perverse way, if they had lost 18 in a row or whatever it is, you know, then that's a great story too. It's just kind of on the other end of it. It's really hard not to get caught up in it. And it's a legitimate story. I mean, if they win, this will be the longest winning streak in team history.
Yep.
They will have the best record in the NBA. The Cardinals have the best record in the NFL. Saying those things again, just 3 years ago, mm-hmm. if we had said that, they pull the plug. They take down your Christmas tree. They think we were crazy because it just didn't seem possible. And it's a whole lot more fun when they're fun to watch.
Yeah, but if this afternoon it comes out that the investigation is released and it's damning on Robert Sarver, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, we need to not talk about this today because of the win streak. You know, you have to address what is in the moment. And I think for me, what I find most embraceable about this team is it's not just flash and dance. Monty Williams is none of that. James Jones is none of that. Mark Bryant, their assistant coach, who's, I think DeAndre is getting better and better, he's none of that. And the grit guys, that I think the additions of JaVale McGee, that's a grit guy. That's a guy that just doesn't care. He's going to get in fights in the postseason. Landry Shamet's going to pick up the minutes for Devin. And Jay Crowder's a grit guy. So now you have it's like the 2001 World Series team. Matt Williams was a grit guy. Todd Stottlemyre's a red ass grit guy. Jay Bell was a grit guy. And then you had the flash and dance of Luis and Mark Grace and Randy was Randy. And when you have great teams and chemistry, Bill, I think the story becomes that much more engaging for us.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. And again, you hate to draw parallels because these guys are good all on their own.
Sure.
And the league, as you know, it's like Las Vegas. It changes every 3 years until it's unrecognizable from the way it was a little bit ago. So it's not really fair to compare them. But I will say this. If you could see feature stories in the future in the newspaper, on TV, radio, whatever, on every one of those people you just talked about. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it was in 93. And that's kind of how it was in 2001 with the Diamondbacks, because what you think of is, in terms of movies or something, is sort of the supporting cast. They're compelling too. And obviously you have to have that to have a great team. I mean, the whole league now is built around having three great players. Those three great players, as I think the Lakers found out, you know, something goes wrong there. You kind of need something to back you up. Yeah. And I think that's what the Suns have. And that's what makes it a really good story. I think when they stay healthy, that's what the Cardinals have. And I think they're fun for the same reasons. They have these really fun but regimented offenses that allow for a lot of freelancing. And even the regimented stuff looks wild in the context of like normal sports. And they're so much fun to watch. You don't know what's going to happen with Kyler Murray on any play. Chris Paul, what's he going to do? I don't know. What's Booker, you know, is he going to shoot a mid-range jumper, or is he going to like slaughter in and dunk it? You know, I just think it's exciting in that way, in a way that, gosh, I don't remember in a long time.
Well, and what was fun the other night, I'm talking with Goody for a couple minutes. It's fun the other night as I ran into Al McCoy. And it's like 2 hours beforehand. I'm getting there early and watching stuff. And here's Al. I think he's 89 now. And he's just beaming. He's like, this is so much fun. And then I run into some ushers that I've seen down there for 20 plus years. And to say they've been beaten down over the nonsense within the organization would be an understatement. And yeah, they're having fun. And so I feel good for them. Before I get you out of here, though,
I would just say that I believe his full name is the great Al McCoy. At least that's how I always refer to him.
Okay, so American underdog. We can't go in depth, but it's out there a little bit. And then we've got, what is it, national championship, which looks like somebody's trying to do a grab towards the college football title game. We got a couple sports movies. You want to go in depth on either one of these? Can you go in depth on either one?
I haven't seen National Champions, but I've seen American Underdog, and I talked to Warner, and I don't think this is giving anything away because we talked about this in the interview, and there's no embargo on interviews. I think that people are going to be surprised about how much it's about is just kind of the hard work of his life. Maybe that won't be so surprising, but everybody who knows anything about Kurt Warner knows how important his faith is to him.
Mm-hmm.
And faith is really, while it's an important part of his life in this movie, it's not the driving factor that I think a lot of us thought it probably would be. And he addressed that, and he was very candid about that. And he said, we wanted to make it's there, but we wanted to make a movie for everybody. We didn't want to put anybody off who may not share those beliefs, which I think was a smart move. And it was kind of refreshing that he was so upfront about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's still who I am, but it has to have to get messages out to everybody.
I talked to him and Brenda and the actors and all that stuff. And I kept asking over and over, when's the sequel? And again, not to give away too much, but there's plenty of meat left on the bone in this movie for people in Phoenix.
I think they'll be surprised at how much meat is left on
the bone. There's still another hour, right? No, there's credits. Goodbye. So,
in fairness, I think every other movie I've seen that's coming out around Christmas is about 3 hours long. So I appreciated that there was not another hour.
Have you seen Spider-Man yet?
No, I have not. But it's like 3 hours long or something.
It's just so good. And those are the ones, right? There's not, because everybody I talk to, instead of movies now, they're saying, do you watch Morning Show? Do you watch Ted Lasso? So they're not even talking about big screen as much as they used to.
Well, there's some good movies coming out. The one that you can see on Netflix now, The Power of the Dog with Benedict Cumberbatch, maybe a little bit slow, but it's great. And I think it's the best he's ever been. And he's really always good. West Side Story comes out next week. I was surprised at how much I liked it. I don't know if anybody knows this, but that Steven Spielberg guy, I mean, he's pretty good at making movies.
He's got some good stuff. He's got an eye.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Stay safe. Thanks.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
There's Goody. And we're back with more after this timeout.